And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. And Joe, you know it's going to be a heck of a morning when yours truly starts drinking coffee. Doesn't happen very often, but here I am.
How is it?
Not bad. I like it.
Did you put some kind of sweetener in it?
No, it's just straight black.
Straight black, dude. Coffee. Okay, so why didn't you bring any pop in?
I forgot, to be honest with you. Took the dog out this morning, who was not pleased with my late night hockey watching habits last night, and she took her sweet time this morning. So
okay,
forgot, well, and then went coffee.
If you hate the coffee, I'll buy you pop, but you have to call it pop. How about that?
I guess we'll never be doing that. Nick Keyser.
Or you become a coffee enthusiast today.
Well, maybe so. Nick Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing good. Yeah, welcome to the club of drinking coffee in the morning with Joe and I.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Fellas, that game.
With Joe and me.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at there.
Thank you for that. Us, we.
You're welcome.
We all love it. But, dude, that period last night in the third, that felt like Apollo Creed just getting beat down to a pulp. I can't believe that they actually survived that, honestly.
Wow, have you seen Rocky?
Yeah, I've seen all of those.
Wow, look at you. Good for you. Way to go.
On the one hand,
even the new
it
ones.
Is good for you. On the other hand, there's so many Rocky sequels that you should not watch in lieu of other movies you haven't seen, but that's okay.
It's whatever.
That's a good analogy, though. They were. Oh my God!
It was the old rope-a-dope, as they say. There's no doubt about that. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Obviously, we're going to have full reaction to the Predators' Game 2 win in Vancouver. They even up the series 1-1 last night. We're going to break that down the entire show. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com will be with us from 8 to 9 talking Titans as well, as we are one day away from the NFL draft. So we got playoff hockey going on. We got the NFL draft tomorrow. There's a lot going on around here, Joe Rex Road, and we're going to do our best to cover it all today. So we'll take your thoughts all show long, 615-737-1025. We do begin with the Preds. Their win last night, 4-1 against Vancouver. And, Joe, what a difference 24 hours makes. They go on the road, they win the game, and you look around, you know, starting early yesterday or a little bit later yesterday morning after we got off the air into the afternoon, the rumor mill started going about Thatcher Demko, Vancouver goaltender. And by the time their morning skate came around yesterday, we knew that Thatcher Demko wasn't going to be playing in Game 2. Casey DeSmith was, and that Demko's status for the rest of the series is kind of up in the air at this point. And if you pay attention to the reporting that's going on around it, I mean, at this point, I'd be pretty surprised if he's back in this series. Week to week, and it sounds like, you've got Darren Drager and all these other people, these insiders saying the report that the Canucks got back about Demko wasn't very good. So, doesn't look very good for Demko for the rest of this series. So, you go from down 0-1, Joe, a game in Game 1 where it kind of felt like you let one get away from you in the third period, to now you find a way to win the game last night. You've accomplished your split. You've stolen home ice, and Vancouver doesn't have their goalie. That's a heck of a switch in this series.
Yes, it is. And, yeah, Subban and Messier doing the same thing. I mean, Steve Levy's like, well, maybe he'll be back next game. And they're like, yeah, I've heard he's not going to be back in the playoffs. I mean, it's one of those things that's probably going to be verified or confirmed completely.
Right.
But when Tocchet switches to week to week after the game, that kind of tells you what you need to know, right? Like, I don't think we're – I mean, I don't know. I guess, like, if this got to a game 7 and there was some miraculous healing, but it doesn't sound like. I think you can count on DeSmith being the guy in there for the Preds,
which is
for the Canucks. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Which is, I mean, obviously, I mean, look, you never want to see anybody get hurt, but
no.
Casey DeSmith being in goal is good news for the Nashville Predators. I think we saw a little bit of that last night. It was a very strange game last night, to say the least. They win 4-1. If you looked at that final score, you would say, well, okay, pretty dominating win for the Nashville Predators. That was not the case at all last night. I think they end up with, like, 14 shots. Did they even get to 14? I mean, it was such a weird game. They got out-attempted in the first period, like 24-6. The shot total actually ended up being 4-4 after the first period, which is really weird.
Shots on goal, yeah.
Yeah, they did a great job of getting in the lane. The final shot on goal mark last night was Vancouver 18, Nashville 16, which again sounds like it's just dead even and close. But that was basically a game where outside of about a 3-minute stretch in the second period, the Predators were spending a ton of time in their defensive zone. For in some points in that game, kind of holding on for dear life, and yet they get out of there with the win. Saros, I mean, if you go by just strictly the saves that he made, he didn't have to make a ton of saves, but boy, he made some big ones in that game. What a response by him.
Especially in the third period. An absurd – so what's the – is the total number 32 block shots? I saw 32, then I saw the box score change. Yeah, 32? Okay, I thought it changed to 30, but regardless, I mean, just how many bruises are on the bodies of these dudes? I mean, like – and so they did an amazing job, but he also in the third period – I mean, there were three for sure where it's like – and, you know, the Canucks also – I mean, Petey, as they like to call him. I've learned that Canucks fans call Elias Pettersson Petey.
Yes, that's true.
And when you're unhappy with someone, that can be a real – you know, like, hey, Petey, yeah, get your stuff together. I mean, he doesn't shoot on an empty net. He then misses an empty net – I mean, not empty, but an open net.
Yes.
Both on different power plays. And he also had another redirect that just kind of bad luck. I mean, they did some things to help. The block shots were phenomenal. But then Saros in the third period was that's the UC Saros that the Preds need to win in the playoffs.
Here's the shot attempt disparity last night. Vancouver finished with 18 shots on goal, 33 attempts blocked, 33 missed shots. So that would be, if my quick math is correct, 84 attempts for Vancouver last night. The Predators, 16 shots on goal, 9 shots blocked, 11 missed. So that would be 36. So you got out-attempted 84 to 36 last night, and you won 4-1. How about that?
Yeah. That tracks with what it looked like. I mean, the third period, I mean, did the Preds, did they flip it into the O-zone a couple times and, like, touch it
until that late power play.
Yeah, until the keep-away power play.
They didn't do anything in the offensive zone.
And, you know, that power play, huge kill of time, and there was Philip Forsberg, you know. I mean, obviously his play with the filthy goal was vintage Philip Forsberg, but also the forcing Quinn Hughes to take a penalty there was huge. And that was him, you know, actually keeping the puck and, you know, forcing something. So that was a big-time play by him. But, yeah, that third period was just, I mean, just crowd around Saros and take some rubber, man.
Look.
That's what it was.
Obviously, I mean, this goes without saying, if you're getting out attempted 84 to 36 every game moving forward here, that is not going to end well for you. I mean, I think everybody knows that. So clearly, they have to find a way to spend more time in the offensive zone 5-on-5 than they've been able to in the first two games. And look, I think coming back home naturally is going to help some of that. I mean, you're going to have last change, so you control the matchups and the energy, right? Like, I mean, the energy in the building, it's going to help. So I would be stunned if it's as bad as it was in games 1 and 2 in terms of just their lack of ability to generate chances 5-on-5. But, I mean, that was even in some ways kind of miraculous what they pulled off last night. And it's not sustainable, at least in my opinion, moving forward. Now, having said that, I think they deserve a ton of credit for getting in those shot lanes. It's clear, I mean, part of their strategy is keep them to the outside, clog up that middle, and get in shooting lanes. Like, they're clearly trying to stop those seam passes that go across the middle that set up one-timers, and they've done a great job of getting in those shooting lanes. I mean, to be honest with you, the fact that they gave up 84 attempts and only 18 of them went on the net is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that. So they deserve a ton of credit for being willing to stand in there and block the shot. I thought last night was, if you could epitomize a Ryan McDonagh game, it was last night. He was all over the place in the defensive zone. He was making play after play, chipping pucks out, blocking shots, getting the stick in lanes, things that, I mean, the casual fan watches and just will never pick up on. But I thought he was awesome last night. So, obviously, they got to change the formula here in terms of you just getting hemmed in their own zone. But I do think they deserve a lot of credit for what they did when they were in the D zone getting in shooting lanes.
Yeah, I agree. And you tweeted about Shin. I thought he also was very physical.
Yep.
And made a lot of smart, heady plays. I thought Lozon had a big bounce back game. He had some, you know, some big moments. He had a really big kind of recovery in the D zone. And I forget who that was against, but it was looking like a really good chance for the Canucks. And he caught up and got physical. I thought in the D zone, they were really good. They just had to be in there all night. They just couldn't sustain anything, especially, of course, in the third period. It almost felt to me like, obviously in the third period, because they get the one goal and they're chasing the game, and you know it's going to be chaos. But even for the whole game, like the Canucks knew they had to win that game, and like they poured everything into trying to win the game with DeSmith in there, get the 2-0 lead, give themselves a chance to still stay ahead of the curve here. And it just felt like a really desperate performance by them, and it was a good performance by them, other than maybe gripping those sticks. I mean, Petey, that's going to be all the talk in Vancouver today.
Well, let's be honest here too. I mean, the Preds, they got a little bit lucky yesterday too.
Yes.
I mean, Pettersson had a wide open net that somehow he missed. I think that was either late in the first, early in the second. I can't remember when it was. They had a couple of other chances, and Pettersson had one of them. Miller had another one where they just didn't shoot it. They had the one where his stick blew up on him too. Miller's stick blow up. They hit two posts at least in that game. So there was some luck, some good fortune on the way of the Predators there. But again, what did we need to see yesterday? You needed to see a response from Philip Forsberg. I wasn't sure we were going to get it after the first period, and then in the second we got it in a big way, and he was awesome, and that goal was great. And you needed as a response from UC Saros, and you got both those things, and you end up winning. So that's the prevailing takeaway if you're a Predators fan is you got Forsberg going a little bit. Saros looked awesome in that game, and I said it. He's got to make the saves he's supposed to make, and he's got to make a couple that he's not, and that's exactly what he did yesterday, and they found a way to win the game. Predators even up the series 1-1. They have stolen home ice advantage. They're coming back home, and Thatcher Demko, Vancouver's goalie, looks like he might be out the rest of the series. We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Preds win 4-1 last night in Game 2 to even up the best of seven series, 1-1 against the Vancouver Canucks. They will come back home Friday with a series even, with a chance to maintain home ice advantage now that they've stolen one on the road. We're taking your thoughts on the Preds win. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Mike in Gallatin. Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So, obviously, like everybody else who's going to probably interact with you guys this morning, my brain's not completely on yet.
Hey, ours
so
too.
What anything that right? So anything that all my thoughts right now aren't exactly like together, but hopefully you guys can piece this out. The third period was the most nerve wracking thing I think I've ever had to sit through. I'd be curious to hear or see if they can find the time of possession for the third period alone. Because it felt like outside of that power play, which we got at the end of the game, was the most like satisfying thing that we could have for nothing more other than the fact that I just knew it was 2 minutes of not having to play constant play in our defensive front. It was wild. I think the biggest turnaround player for me in this second game was Alexander Carrier. I don't remember his final stats, but I feel like he also had like 7 or 8 block shots as well. So ultimately, I feel like that was a big turnaround for us to have as well. I hope that the power play can get itself figured out because it still looks like we're clueless on that. And overall, man, it was I didn't think I was going to make it through the night, but that game was had way too much going on to be turned off early. Final question, is it too early for a Red Bull right now?
No, I think you get a pass today. Thanks for calling, Mike.
Awesome.
If Robbie can drink coffee, you can have Red Bull.
Yeah, I think that's probably the general rule there. I agree. I thought Carrier had a nice bounce-back game. I mean, look, this is one of those games where if you look at the underlying numbers or the fancy stats, none of it's going to be pretty for the Predators, right? Like, I mean, it basically the stats tell you about, you know, generating shots, generating offensive zone time, and the Predators did not generate a ton of offensive zone time last night. So I don't know that the advanced analytics are going to be too kind to anybody on the Predators last night. But I did think in their own zone, and you brought this up, Carrier and Lauzon responded really well. I mean, they were clearly really bad in game one. They made some horrific mistakes, and they were pretty solid in that area last night. It wasn't perfect, but, you know, Carrier, 6 block shots, which according to the stat sheet, led the team. So he was getting in shooting lanes last night. That's when he's on his game, that's what he does. He's really good at blocking shots. And I thought a really good response by that pairing last night. And you mentioned it. Like, Luke Shen, I think, actually, through the first two games has been pretty good. And I know Luke Shen has gotten a lot of crap this year, but I think you're seeing, like, why his style of play does translate to playoff hockey. Like, he's been if I had to identify somebody from the Predators that's been the most physical, it's him by a mile right now. Like, he is destroying
people. McDonough almost killed a man last night. He did. But, yeah.
Good thing he missed.
Yeah.
Seager would have been in a different county. Right. They have counties in Canada.
Yeah, I like Shenstony.
That will end poorly at any point.
Shenstony is not yet. It's so close to being perfect.
It is.
I like the pairing.
It's good.
I think Spencer out there is, handle himself. Yeah, he gets to spots fast, man.
They had a play last night where he got caught pinching up a little bit in the offensive zone, and there was a turnover, and he and Shen had to get back. And Stasny was skating backwards and got back past, I think it was like, I forget who was on the rush. It may have been the Hoglander line, but he got back so quick. And I was just like, he is going backwards faster than most people can go forwards. It's unbelievable how quick he got back last night.
That's it. I mean, we kind of joked about it when they put them together. It's like, wow, what a contrast. But it kind of works,
is,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I thought the decor, and it wasn't just them. You know, one thing Brunette said after the game one, the Hughes goal, and Hughes, by the way, was all over the place last night. Didn't get rewarded, but he is slippery.
Yeah.
I tell you what. But one thing that Brunette said on the Hughes goal, or I guess it was tipped, but it was the Hughes play for a goal, was like a forward has to block that.
Correct.
There are certain, like the way that, like you said, this is their game plan, and in the D zone it's effective. They need to figure out a way to have any sort of possession, but that was one of those where it's like you have to have a forward step up and do it. Last night everybody stepped up. And actually, do we have who had the most block shots last time? McDonough?
Carrier did. According to the stat sheet now, I mean, they ended up, what I don't understand about the official stat sheet, and I guess I'll have to look into this, Vancouver had 33 attempts blocked, and the Predators are credited with 30 block shots. So
it is 30.
I'll have to figure out what that is. What, there's a discrepancy there that we got to figure out. I don't know what that means.
They blocked themselves
maybe
three
so.
Times?
Maybe they did block themselves. I don't know. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Bob in Antioch. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I have two questions. First of all, have the Predators ever won game two on the road in the playoffs after losing game one? And the second question I've got is, what do you think about the secondary scoring so far? I'm very pleased with it.
Yep, thanks for the call, Bob. They've definitely won game two on the road, in Vancouver, in that 2011 series. They lost game one, won game two on the road in overtime. I think they've done it a couple other times, too. I'd have to go back and check. 5 times?
Kieser
says 5 times. So they've done that
before.
Speak up,
yes, Kieser.
They have.
You have a microphone.
Hey, this is your show, but
no, it's your show too, Nick.
It is my show too.
You're involved.
Yes, it's happened 5 different times, and it was a couple of different ones. It didn't happen for a while, to be honest. And those years that it happened, it was 07, 2015, 2019, and 2020 in the bubble series.
Okay,
so
that sounds
there.
Right.
You go.
Wait, hold on. Well, 2019 they were home, so it couldn't have been 2019. He's asking. He's asking on the road.
Oh, on the road.
Yes. So lost game one on the road, won game two on the road. So 19 would not count.
No, it would not count.
And 20 definitely would.
And 20 was in the bubble. So I guess really.
If you want to count that, I don't know.
I wouldn't count that.
I guess not.
Okay, so then we're talking about three.
2011.
Yeah.
The other ones were on the road?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Should be. Yeah.
There you go. So you were 60% right.
All right. It's over 50. Way to go.
It's a good percentage.
That's pretty good. No, like, look, clearly, I would assume that most Predators fans, like, you feel way different about the series today, right? I mean, it's, number one, you've tied it. So you've stolen home ice advantage away. Not that that means everything, because I mean, all Vancouver's got to do is win one here, and they've got home ice advantage right back. But with Demko out, like, there is an opportunity there. If you can find a way to spend significantly more time in the offensive zone, like, I think they do have a vulnerable goaltender. And, look, I mean, even last night, Forsberg makes a great play, but it was kind of leading up to that, an overread by DeSmith. The first goal of the game, DeSmith was like 7 feet out of the net on the redirection by Beauvillier. Like, there's clearly a downgrade there from Demko to DeSmith. So an opportunity here if you're the Predators to take advantage of that. But you got to find a way to spend more time in the offensive zone. Like, I'd be interested to know from Andrew Brunet over these next 2 days here, and he's not going to tell us this in a media setting, but, like, when he and the rest of the coaching staff sit down and watch the 5-on-5 tape of what's happened through the first two games so far, how do you come up with a solution? Clearly, they've got to find some sort of adjustment to break through whatever Vancouver's doing and get more chances 5-on-5. Now, the one thing I will say, and I know they got, you know, 84 attempts last night by Vancouver, but it is encouraging. Like, it's not like Saros had to make 50 saves last night. Like, they're doing a good job of getting in the way. How sustainable is getting in the way if you're the Predators?
Well, they screwed him out of 30 saves. I mean, he could have had a 47-save game, you know. Blocked 30 of those. I'd love to know the breakdown and analysis from the Preds coaching staff of 5-on-5 play and what the adjustment. I mean, it's like they could not get the puck. I mean, they could not get the puck. And then when, you know, like you said, they're keeping the outside, so they're doing what they want to do in the D zone when Vancouver has the puck. But then by the time they ever cleared it, got it out of there, they're exhausted and having to change. I mean, you can't – when you allow a team to forecheck you to death like that, then you will not have your own. I mean
– that formula is not sustainable in a seven-game series. Like, you will eventually get worn down if that's the way – if that's the way it goes.
I mean, do they ever need 2 days off? Between the block shots and the territorial domination, they must be just spent.
There's no question about it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your takeaways from the Preds' Game 2 win against Vancouver last night. Series evened up at 1. More on that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Philip, you guys blocked 34 shots tonight. I mean, the sacrifices were unbelievable. How do you see taking away the space from them, taking away the lanes, but also 5-on-5. How do you think the series has gone 5-on-5 for you guys?
I think it's, like I said, I think it's been a fairly even. Maybe they've had a little more zone time. I think that's something that we can definitely work on a little bit better, getting a little bit more offensive zone time. But at the same time, I think we're doing a pretty good job keeping them on the outside. There's been, the goals obviously have been kind of shots through from the point, and one was tipped in. I think the one even today hit one of our guys, unfortunately, but the sacrifice is there too. Like, that one was a great try for the blocking, and I think we're doing a pretty good job at that. But like I said earlier, they got some guys they can hurt you if you give them too much time. So I think maybe a little bit advantage to them 5-on-5, but like I said, we're learning every game. We got a lot of experienced guys and a lot of guys that are just getting taste of playoffs. And I mean, this is definitely going to be a long series, and we're trying to learn a little bit every game. And I thought today was a good step from first game. And now a couple of days to regroup and go back to Nashville and try to do it again.
That's Philip Forsberg after the game last night. Preds win 4-1 against the Vancouver Canucks, even up the series 1-1.
I thought that was Ryan O'Reilly. No, that was that Forsberg. They're melding into each other.
I will say, I went back and listened to that comment the other day after you said that. It did kind of sound like Philip Forsberg.
Right?
Been hanging out around him too much.
Yeah, guess so, man. How about all right, so I'm not going to unmute. I'm sorry to bring this up. April in Portland says that the Forsberg goal, Jared said it was fine.
Yeah, he did.
He was downgrading the Forsberg goal.
I got to find his actual tweet. because
why do we have to do these? You don't have to have a dumb take about everything in the world.
He went nuts when Forsberg scored it, and I responded to it because my response was, "You're a troll." And his tweet was, "TV made that goal sound a lot better than it was. It was fine. DeSmith stinks." And I said, "You're such a troll."
Okay.
Pretty nice goal from Philip Forsberg last
night. Now, in fact, I wouldn't really put too much on DeSmith there. I would ask who's supposed to be, with Philip Forsberg there, but he basically left everybody in the dust, and that was just an absolute sick little display.
I mean, an underrated part of last night's game for sure. That if you're, when you're breaking down the list of reasons why the Predators won, this is not going to be high on the list, but Tyler Myers not playing last night for Vancouver was a big deal. Yeah, I thought he was pretty good in game one. He had the flu. So my guess is he'll probably be back in game three, but we'll see. But they brought in Noah Juulsen last night, and he struggled. He took a couple penalties. I think he was out there on that Forsberg play with Soucy, and the two of them, I don't know what they were trying to do there, but they both backed off to the middle of the ice and just let Philip Forsberg skate right to the net. So it's like, okay, what are you guys doing over there?
I had a flashback to 2018 against Colorado, and they're like, Phil, go ahead and do something crazy.
Go ahead and score the goal there. So, again, there's no doubt about it. There was some good fortune involved for the Predators last night, where they had a couple of, missed nets on the other side of things, couple of posts, and I'm pretty sure Noah Juulsen will not be playing in Game 3. Did not go very well for him there. But you have to take advantage of that, and Philip Forsberg was able to do it. I thought Beauvillier was great last night, and in a game where, again, it's not going to be kind to anybody from an analytics standpoint, he gets the goal right off the bat, a nice redirection there. He creates the third goal on the rush with a shot. Sissons gets to the rebound. After a game where I didn't think he was good at all and a huge missed opportunity in game one for him, not lifting that puck on the pass from Evangelista, I thought a very nice response from Anthony Beauvillier last night.
No doubt. And also, this is a coaching move because he gets moved back to the Sissons line with Zucker. So you get the two acquisition guys along with the grizzled veteran. And then you go back to so that's Jankowski, right?
Jankowski.
Yeah, that's Jankowski going
back
with Evangelista. So worked out all right. And, I'd say right now, the Novak Evangelista line, he didn't see much from them. And I think Novak's got to pick it up.
It's not going well right now.
Yeah, it's not going well for him. But the Sissons line, I thought it was also a big key last night, obviously.
Well, and then 5-on-5, again, you got to see more chances created. But a nice response from Forsberg as the game went on. O'Reilly had a great look on the power play in the slot that he just fired wide. And with as few shots as they were getting in that game, I was like, man, you got to hit the net. You got to hit the net there in that situation. Haven't seen a ton from Nyquist so far in this series. They've done a really good job of kind of smothering him when he's had the puck. So there's still a ton of room for improvement. But, we had Carroll on the text line text this in earlier, and I kind of agree. Like, you can make the argument that the Predators lost the game in game one that they probably should have, could have won. You're up 2-1 in the third period with 15 minutes left. And last night, you get out attempted 84-36 or whatever it was. That's a game you're going to lose most times, and you find a way to win. So, all in all, if you're the Predators, regardless of the way things have gone 5-on-5, regardless of the missed opportunity in game one that you let get away from you, the bottom line is, in the playoffs, it's about the result, and you got to split. You accomplished, I think, what every road team wants to accomplish, and that is to at least get the split on the road, and they were able to do that, which is a huge deal in this series.
Yeah. Road teams are back. Big road teams strike back in the playoffs in general, by the way. Colorado got goaltending last night.
They did.
But the thing is, last night was just, again, I think it was a desperate, this is a must-win, considering the goalie situation, type of feeling for the Canucks.
Yep.
And that's not to take away from their execution or to give the Predators an excuse, But remember, game one, I think was for the most part, there were stretches both ways. You know, I mean, I thought the Preds had some really good stretches for a lot of the second period and some of the first period in the first game. So it's not like it's been all this for two games.
Right.
But at home, they just need to flip it back because it was something else as the game progressed last night.
How big a deal? I mean, there's no doubt about it now. If Demko is not going to be in there, the Predators clearly have the goaltending advantage. You know, Saros, if he plays the way he played last night, that's going to be the type of – that's the type of play that not only gives you a chance, that gets into stealing games, stealing series type of play that we saw from him last night. So clearly, if Demko's not in there, the Predators have the goaltending advantage. How big a deal is that in what is now a best-of-five series, clearly having the goaltending not?
Yeah, well, I feel like UC Saros really that was a big time performance from him, and yeah, again, we've talked about the playoff record, which what is it, 4-8 now?
Right? Correct,
he's 4-8, but if you wipe away three losses in four games and a not great performance by him in the bubble 4 years ago. You know, since then, when he's had opportunities, for the most part, he's been good. He's been good to very good. Game one, he wasn't good enough because you can't let in that one goal that he let in. So I feel like coming home, he's got a chance to, you know, really give this team a chance to win both games and also, you know, to win his first series, which is interesting, by the way. You know, he just turned 29. He turned 29 Friday.
Yep.
Pekka Rinne was just shy of his 29th birthday in that Vancouver series in 2011. How about that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I thought last night, you know, he made a couple of huge saves. There's the Lafferty breakaway where he basically cut off the path where Lafferty didn't even get a shot off. Now, they did score, like, right after that on the sequence.
They kept it in the O-zone, but it was a big-time save.
Big-time save there. You know, Besser had a really sneaky shot in the third that if that goes in and gets it to 3-2, you wonder what that does to the building, what that does to the momentum, all those things. And he was able to get his left pad on it and kick it out. Made a big save on Pedersen in the game with his left pad.
Suter had a great opportunity
Suter,
in the third.
And that was, Suter had a great opportunity in the third. He also had, it was like the first shot of the game or second shot of the game for Vancouver where he tried to lift that puck and Saros got his pad on it when he was out of the net. I mean, there were some really difficult saves that he made last night. And, the Predators, if you're spending more time in the offensive zone, hopefully you're able to kind of space it out a little bit in terms of just the – I do wonder, he didn't make a ton of saves. They had 18 shots on goal. It was a busy night for him. Like, you're fighting through screens, you're fighting through traffic, and he was doing it all night. Like, even though they blocked a lot of those shots, you're still getting down anticipating the shot getting through if you're the goalie. So, I mean, it's – I don't want to discount the – well, he only had to make 17 saves last night. That was a long night of work for UC Saros last night.
I mean, it was exhausting to watch him and them, especially in the third period. It's like, how do you survive that?
Well, by the way, he took a hit in the game, too, where he got crashed into by Dakota Joshua, who's a huge guy, and he looked like he was in severe discomfort when that happened. And then in the post game, we kind of found out why he was in severe.
Do we have that, by the way? I'd love to, because I have not heard the actual quote. No. Yeah, so apparently he told at least Alex Doherty that he said, good thing he has a double cup.
Came in apparently handy.
So UC Saros gives the greatest quote of his career when none of us can be there.
Exactly.
To get it. Thanks a lot, dude.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Quote.
Talking about double cups.
It was a good thing I was wearing a double cup. That was the quote from UC Saros last night.
Nice job, Alex
good
Doherty.
Stuff. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Predators' Game 2 victory against Vancouver. Coming up next, we'll open up our phone line as well, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours now on Robbie and Rex Road.
The choice is yours each week, brought to you by Jarrett Companies Fire and Commercial Plumbing HVAC Division, 615-515-1290, their number. Visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com, 615-515-1290. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Predators win last night 4-1 on the road in Vancouver. Nikita Zadorov, the lone goal for Vancouver, which, by the way, I don't think Predators fans like him very much. He's been in Colorado when they played against him. He's been in Chicago. He was in Calgary. There's a nice, like, old video of PK Subban just yelling at him one time, you know, on a hot mic about how he's a terrible hockey player and using choice language in there. And he's a feisty, nasty type player.
He is.
Crushed Josi last night.
Oh man,
crushed him.
That I was like, is Josi getting up from that one? That was an absolute jolt. Is he the guy? Is he the hateable, the punchable face of the Canucks? I mean, every team has one for the opposing fan base.
I think he is up there for sure. Like I still if Miller ever gets going in the series and scores, he will become that for Predators fans, because he, you know, people in Vancouver kind of compare him to Ryan Kessler in terms of the way that he plays.
Who was that last night?
He was there last night. Now he is
sounding the horn or whatever the heck they do.
Miller is not quite as brash as Kessler is, and he's also a better player than Kessler was. So there is that. But like he does have a little bit of that to him, a little bit of the brashness. Yeah. So it could be him at some point.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good, and he's got a chance to. I mean, I think he's played well. He is really, he's driven a lot of play in this series. Petey is the guy who, Petey and that power play, man. I mean, the fact that they're 0-for, that's a huge, we haven't talked about that yet, but, you know, they're 0-for. They're 0-for on the power play, amazingly, after last night, because they had some, they put themselves in position for some gimmies last night on the power play.
They did, and credit to the Predators' penalty kill. I thought there were a couple of penalty kills where they were outstanding. Like, they did a really good job of getting in the lane, chipping the puck out when they needed to. Again, Ryan McDonagh was outstanding on the penalty kill last night. And, you know, Ryan McDonagh is not a guy that, you know, offensively is ever going to, outside of the 18-game point streak where he put up like 14 points, which is still maybe the most amazing part of that whole thing, he's never a guy that's offensively just going to be like leading the charge. But again, I thought last night was kind of like a perfect Ryan McDonagh game of, he's just making play after play in the D zone. They had one shift in the third period where McDonagh blocked the first shot, Josi blocked the second shot, McDonagh blocked the third shot, and Josi blocked the fourth shot, all right, like right in a row. Like, it was just a shooting gallery out there, and those two stepped in there and just were eating pucks left and right.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've definitely seen some texts to the effect of, you know, I thought, you know, basically like, Yossi's playing poorly, why is Josi not good in the postseason, et cetera, et cetera. And I responded to one of them. I said, I mean, I think in the D zone, Josi was really good. I mean, they all had to scramble and block shots and cover ground and just play so much defense. Obviously, you want him to be a part of driving offense and all that for sure. But I still, after two games, I'm not sitting here saying Roman Yossi's not playing well. You want them to have more impact, but they collectively have to make that possible too.
They got to find a way to get in the offensive zone, and you would love to see him make some more plays, forcing play to get in the offensive zone than he has to this point. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but I'm with you. Like, I thought in the D zone, I mean, him and McDonagh together made some really big-time winning plays last night in the defensive zone. So, like, I don't think he's playing poorly. If they're going to win the series – and finish this off, like, at some point, he's going to have to break through offensively. Forsberg's going to have to continue to build. Like, they got to find a way to not just be camping out in the D zone the whole time. And he's going to have to be a big part of that. Travis on the text line, is it just me or has the officiating been wildly inconsistent? I saw a couple of missed boardings in game one and game two, for example. I thought they called it tight last night.
Yeah, they did.
I thought
– that was not playoff-level officiating.
There was some – like one-hand reaching, slashing penalties that, yes, by the letter of the law, are penalties. I'm surprised that they called some of those on both sides. By the way, last night in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't want to see that many penalties in a playoff game.
No, I'd like to see it. I'm with you. I mean, I don't want it to turn into a special teams contest. But like, if you're the Predators, like when they got a couple power play opportunities, it's like, oh, we're gonna take a nice 2 minute break from the D zone here. At least they'll be in there and kill some time on the power play, which they did a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, that late power play, which again, that's Forsberg, big credit
to him.
That's
a big play by him.
Big time play, just like, okay, I'm either going to just skate around here and eventually get to the net front or you're going to have to do something, and Quinn Hughes had to take the penalty. I'd like to see the outcome if that doesn't happen, because it was like about 5 minutes left, and it's like, man, they are holding on for dear life. Those 2 minutes when they did a great job of just basically just keep the puck, just play it safe, and kill those 2 minutes, that was huge.
Well, and it was clear. I'm not going to say that the objective was to not score on that power play.
They were going to shoot very selectively.
They were going to be very selective with their shots, and Andrew Burnett put two defensemen out there on both units.
Yeah.
I mean, Carrier was out there to start with McDonough.
They started with power play two, right?
They started with power play two.
Get some of their key guys that I think rest right there.
Yeah, they got those guys some rest, but I thought a nice coaching move by Burnett to say, you know what, let's make sure that they don't get some fluky shorthanded chance the other way, have two defensemen back, and be really selective with what you're doing. I mean, it was basically like, all right, we're going to put the puck down low, keep it in the corner. And I think they fired it out to Yossi one time, and he ripped one towards the end of the power play. But other than that, I mean, I don't even know if they got shot on the power play. It was keep away for 2 minutes, which in that situation I don't really have a problem with.
Absolutely.
Just be smart with what you're doing out there, and that's what they did.
But, yeah, two-goal lead, just the time. It's the time is – obviously you have a goal and it's over, but the time is so key there.
So it's now a best of five. You're coming back home. The thing is even up at 1-1. It's going to be, I would assume, crazy in there on Friday night. By the way, I mean, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. That's the first time they've won a road playoff game since, I believe, game three in 2019 against Dallas. So it's been a minute since they won a road playoff game. You get it done, you're evened up, and you're coming back home. How much do we think the home crowd, the 2 days off here, the time to make adjustments if you're Andrew Burnett, how much do we expect that to help the Predators in game three, kind of flip the territorial advantage a little bit?
I would think it would. Again, game one, you saw a more even game. You know, I would still say I think the edge went to the Canucks, but it was more even. Last night was just I can't imagine we'll see that again. If that becomes the norm at all, then I still don't like the Preds' chances in a series.
Exactly.
But I have to think, I mean, the way they've played, the way they play, being in their own building, the energy that comes with that, all of it, you have to think that will make a difference. So how much of a difference, I'm fascinated to find out, but it has to make a pretty significant difference. I mean, they've got to get back to playing how they want to play. They're not doing it at all. It's amazing. This is, and I saw Alex Doherty tweeted this, 16 shots on goal, lowest total ever in a Preds playoff win. And you think about that, the shot attempts disparity, what is it, 84-36. Dominated in the third period, and you won 4-1. I mean,
yeah.
Like, years from now, people will look back through Preds playoff results, and boy, you need to look deeper at this one.
Well, it's also one of those kind of games where it kind of depends on the eye, you know, how you view it, because I mean, there's a lot on the text line of, man, if that's the way things are going to be, they're not going to win the series. And I agree with that. Like, if that game plays out and that's the formula, kind of the framework of the series moving forward, then it's probably not going to be a very long series. Vancouver may win three straight if that's the way it goes. You can also, if you want to, view it of, all right, well, odds are you're probably not going to get dominated like that again in the series, and you found a way to win that game. So what is that going to mean in games three and four when you're at home and you are in control of the matchups and you do have last change and you can get a little bit more to what you want to get to out there if you're Andrew Burnett?
Yeah, and that's an important point there for sure. You know, like what will he do with last change? What matchups is he trying to get out of that Tocket wanted? you know, in the first two games, and how much does that matter?
I will say this, and I know throughout the 18-game point streak, they were starting the fourth line, and that was their kind of their tone-setting line. And my guess is they're probably going to keep doing that in game three. The fourth line being out there against Miller's line is not going well. They got to find a way to avoid that when you're at home.
Yeah, yeah. And
I don't know if you go straight up with O'Reilly against that line or what you do, but they are incredibly fortunate that that matchup has not cost them more than it has so far.
Because it seems like they want Sissons against the Petey line.
Yeah.
Right. And so I mean. So I guess with last change, you can just dictate more of that,
yes.
And I think that's a good way to go. But, yeah, the Miller line's a problem.
It's a problem, and he is not really broken through yet, but you give a guy like JT Miller that many chances, and at some point he's going to. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Predators, their game two win against Vancouver last night. Series is 1-1. Heading back to Nashville. Let's open up the phone lines. Your thoughts on the Predators, their chances in this series. Now that they've evened things up and Thatcher Demko looks like he could be out the rest of the series. We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.